All right, praise the Lord. Let's just stand up one more time and give the Lord a great praise offering. Hallelujah. Thank Him for His goodness. Hallelujah. Now, listen. Right now, thank Him for receiving your offering. Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, amen. And I can always hear it when you bring that up. Well, do you think He didn't receive mine? Come on. That's not what we're talking about here. And I told you earlier, check out with Cain and see what God said to him. He wasn't doomed at all. God told him, and if you study it out, you can find out what happened. You have to go back into Hebrew words that are translated certain ways, but the bottom line of it was this. He did not give God the first of his crops. It was not the fact that he had what he brought to God. It wasn't because he didn't get a lamb. He was not a herdsman. But he didn't bring the first fruit of his land. He didn't even bring the second fruit. He waited and brought the third picking. Now, some of you city folks don't understand what that means. But if you've ever tried to eat beans off of a third picking, you'll understand why nothing but a hog will eat them. They are worthless. That's the reason he brought them to God. They were worthless. I mean, cattle feed. And he brought that to God. And he did it, of course. He knew better than that. But he did it without any faith. And the faith was the issue. And God said to him, he said, will I not receive your offering? But he said, now sin is at your door. Don't, in other words, do something about it. Don't choose that. But he went ahead and did it anyway. And then it got to him so bad he killed his brother over it. Oh, yeah. Your offering is well received. And your hundredfold has already started towards you. Praise God. Opportunities are being directed towards you. There's already faith absorbing and wiping out all your debts. Praise God. Now take hold of it. Praise the Lord. I thank God I'm debt free for the rest of my days. Praise the living God. Well, while you're up there, give the Lord a good praise and thanksgiving, and also to Keith and Phyllis Moore for this great facility. And oh my, the blessing of this church. they put forth the word for volunteers for this meeting, and 600 showed up. That's the kind of church this is, and they couldn't figure out before 100 jobs. Well, the other two of you get the same. The other 200 of you get the same credit. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, bless somebody before you're seated. Turn to them and look them right in the eye and say, "You're blessed in the name of Jesus. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Charles, the word of the Lord just came to me, and I heard it very plainly. He said, tell Charles Smithwick that all that they're talking out there, particularly after what the CEOs of the major car companies did concerning their aircraft, they misrepresented it. And all that talk out there concerning your business, it wasn't about your business. And I heard it. You tell him I'm the CEO of his business and I've got things in hand. And if he'll call for them, I'll bring true to pass seeds that have been out there for 25 years and more. They're coming to pass. Well, I had my faith to it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you and I believe God for a lot of things over these years, and not one has failed to come to pass. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. I'm telling you now. I believe Jesus is into this thing, don't you? Hallelujah. I am tremendously thrilled and excited over the things that are coming through. Amen. Let's turn to the 112th Psalm. Psalm 112. Now, we were in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And the scripture, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. That's where he said, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, was quoting the 112th Psalm. So now, we've been talking about this grace. He's able to make all grace bound towards us. Now, as we pointed out earlier in one of the other sessions, eternity is not long enough to ever get to the end of God's grace. I mean, it's out there. It is way out there, man. He is grace. But Jesus has it all. How could one man have it all? Because he believes for all of it, that's why. Now, what is all grace abounding towards you? Think about that a minute. You and I both know. He was talking to the people there in 2 Corinthians, and he was pointing out to them that here was a grace they didn't know anything about. And since they didn't know anything about it, they couldn't abound in it. But he said, I'm telling you about it and making you aware of it so you can abound in it. And then he told them how to abound in it, and purpose in your heart, and so forth and so on. Well, there's grace after grace after grace after grace that you and I never heard of. Bound to be. Amen. I want them all. I want to know about them all. But I'm not going to get them all at once. What am I going to get? What can I honestly, truly release my faith for in this? Glory. He is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you always having all sufficiency in all things. So what is all grace abounding toward you? It's whatever grace you need to have always having all sufficiency in all things. And so you exercise your faith. Lord, I'm standing ready before you. Whatever it takes, whatever problems there are, whatever is out there, whatever the devil throws at me, whatever happens in this life, whatever it is and whatever it takes, there is a or more than one grace to finance it, to furnish it, to do it, to pick me up, heal me, whatever it takes, that I may be all sufficient in all things. It takes all grace, then so be it. And whatever I need to find out, I'm planning on finding out about it. Amen. Why? I ain't planning on coming up short. He said you're supposed to abound in that one. Well, let's abound in that one. The more I read the Word, the more I find out how much I don't know yet. And I want all of it. I'm going to live eternally. Why not want all of it?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The only thing of it is, about the time you get it all, he'll invent something else. He'll show you something else that's exceeding abundantly beyond all you could ask or think. Now, every time he does something that's exceedingly abundantly, there is a grace that comes, and you never heard of it before, and it was right on time. And oh, glory to God, look at this. And I received it, and it was the very thing I needed, and that was the grace that picked me up and so that I was still always having all sufficiency in all things. And I'm so thrilled over it. And it was exceeding abundantly beyond anything I ever heard before. But now I've seen it. Now I've heard it. And now I'm beginning to abound in that, that I didn't even know a few days ago that was so big and beyond anything I could ever ask or think. But not anymore. I've come up towards Him. Huh? I've come up higher. I got into an area of His thought that was higher than my thought. But now His thought is my thought. And so my thought and His thought are running right alongside one another. And now I can think what He's thinking and say what He's saying and expect to do what He's doing. So now He's going to do something else that's more than I can ask or think. That has never entered into my heart before. What is it? Another grace. An abounding truth and insight into the grace that I already know about. That's good enough right there. But that ain't good enough for Him. And we just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on keeping on. And it just gets better and taller and higher. Just because you get to heaven and all that, I don't mean you're going to just suddenly know it all.
Right.
No. The Scripture said one of the first things that's going to happen is He's going to straighten out our doctrines. Thank God. Amen. We don't come together in the unity of our doctrines until that day. It's the unity of our faith that we come together in.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he's going to straighten all that mess out. And the thing that's so exciting about it, instead of getting honest about it, did you know the Bible said once he gets that straightened out in us, then we will receive praise from God? I thought we're supposed to praise him. That's not what that says. It said he'll praise us. What kind of day is that going to be? I don't know. That's out there beyond what I can ask or think. But it's coming. Well, Brother Copeland, didn't he call us so that we could spend throughout eternity loving him? No, that's not what he had on his mind. Sunday school teachers made that up. That's not what Scripture says. The Scripture said he will spend the ages to come revealing and showing to us the exceeding riches of his glory.
Yeah, come on.
We going to the show. Hallelujah. Eternity. Continually showing you and me the exceeding riches of his glory and his grace and his wonders. Now, you know how he's gonna begin that? With us going to heaven? No. Yeah, that's, you know, he's already started it, but that's not the point. No. It's not us going to heaven. We ain't going to heaven except for just a few days. He's moving here. Y'all didn't get that. I'm going to go over here. Too many preachers over there. They don't... No. His plan has always been to move here. He is bringing the holy city. He's the only fella I know that moves streets and all. He's bringing the city to the earth. See, heavenly substance, heavenly goods are not strange to the earth. They fit right in here. Earth was made for God and you to live in. Hallelujah. And we'll spend eternity here together. My God, I can't hardly stand that, man.
Glory.
Woo, glory be to Jesus. Man. And the next time the president and senator this and representative that gets up and says about all the crisis and all that, you just jump up out of your chair and say, send me a bill, Jack. They're planning on sending you a bill for it anyway. But griping and hollering and crying and squalling about taxes are not going to change anything. It's when you... The Scripture says pay your taxes without quarreling and grumbling about it.
Yes.
But don't just pay taxes. Turn it into a seed. And bless the government with it. And you'll always have way more than enough to pay your taxes. And we can do something about this debt. The church will just pay it off. And when we do, this place is ours. Amen. It's ours anyway. The thing got in the mess it's in, not because of politicians, because the church didn't do nothing about it. Whatever kind of politicians we've got, the church is to blame for it.
Right.
Sit around and don't vote. Sit around and don't pray. Or just sit around and cry and moan and groan and argue with the TV. Tell the television how bad they all are. Well, that ain't going to do anything except upset you. And if that's all you're going to do, cut the thing off. Amen. All right. Psalm 112. This is what he quoted. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Oh my. Blessed. Can you see the source?
Yes, sir.
Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That word translated fear does not mean fright or fear. It really, in this case, really shouldn't even have been there. It means reverence. It means awe. It means, a literal rendering of it would be, to be in such awe and reverence of His presence. And yet the very idea that He loves me makes me tremble. Hallelujah. Awe and reverence to the point of shaking. It is so marvelous. Do something about your descriptive words. Study the Bible. Put the Bible in your mouth. Get the world's words out of there. The world comes up with fad words. No, they're not. They're bad words. And if everybody's saying them, you better check them out. Because they are there to infect and cripple your faith. Just like the death words. Dying to go, scared to death, my feet are killing me. All that. Well, that's a double-edged one because you ain't dying, you lied. Well, I didn't mean to lie. Well, change what you said then. I didn't know all that meant that much. I know it. Jesus said, you are condemned by the words of your mouth. And you are justified by the words of your mouth. And you will stand judgment for every idle, inoperative word. You've been given the authority of life and death, and power over it is in the tongue. So you're held responsible for it. It doesn't seem like that to us because we've been talking all of our lives, save 6 months to a year of it. And so it's so common with us. And where you got your language was what you first heard. And most of it wasn't any good. That don't mean you've got a mean mama and daddy.
Right.
I don't know, you may have. But that's where you got your first words. That built your way of thinking, your way of speaking. But what we have to do is go to the Bible, and I'll show you in a moment here, if the Lord permit. And don't let His words get out of our mouth and put something else in there instead.
Right.
Such as incredible. I hear it all the time. I hear it in sermons. I hear it on Christian television and all that. It's all right. It's not wrong to use the word. But use it according to its definition. Don't give it some other definition because Satan is a legalist. And that's the reason he tries to get something in your mouth that means something else. Because then he can use it against you and you didn't even know it. Wasn't that an incredible sermon? I pray not. Incredible means it can't be believed. There's no credibility. You know what credibility means? Incredible means just the opposite from credibility. What about fantastic? Why not a fantastic sermon? Oh, no. Fantastic means void of truth. Fantasy, no substance. Well, what am I supposed to say? You got a whole, you got 66 volumes of stuff you can say. Well, what am I supposed to say? It just thrilled me to life. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, why don't you just say you were thrilled? We'll believe it. I was thrilled, 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 thrilled. Till I thought I'd live forever or something. But now, what are the expressions of God in that word right there? Awesome, reverence, and the words that go along with that. The scripture says, this is the work of the Lord, and it is marvelous in my eyes. That is a gigantic word. It is marvelous. I marvel at it. Did Jesus ever marvel? Yeah, and also at their unbelief.
Right.
I want him marveling my faith, not my unbelief. It's marvelous in my eyes. All right. His, who? This blessed man that is awesomely awed by the Lord God, his heavenly Father, delights greatly in his commandments. He's inclined his ear to God's sayings. He has put his word first place in his life. And he's come to the point where just the opportunity to get another revelation from God is a delightful thing. I just delight in hearing from God. Gloria and I are that way.
Yes.
My goodness, did you get just one more revelation from God? Smith Wigglesworth, one of the great power apostles of modern times. And he said, give me 5 more minutes under that anointing. I'd rather have it than a gold fence built around the whole world.
Yes.
A revelation will get the gold.
Yeah.
Forget the gold compared to revelation. He delights greatly in God's word. A man of honor, a man of covenant, delights greatly in a command. The men of valor that were around David. David just simply expressed, he really wasn't telling anybody to do this. They'd been in combat for an extended amount of time, and he was tired, and he was under a lot of pressure, and he just said, oh, for a drink of water out of my well at home, my favorite well. He's just standing there thinking about home, man. I didn't even want a drink of water out of his own kitchen. His own well, and his men heard it. And to them it was a command. He wasn't commanding anybody to go get him water. But a man of honor, a covenant man, where there's blood between you and somebody. And man, they took off. They fought their way in there, and they fought their way back, and they brought the boss a drink of water. Fully intended to see him enjoy it. And you know what it did? It shook him so deep. It hit him so hard. See, David is not only king, he's a prophet. And he went before the altar of God. He went before a place of covenant, a place of sacrifice before God. And he took that precious, precious cup of water and he poured it out for God to drink. He made a drink offering from it. A drink of water. And how serious it got. Covenant honor. You can't teach it. It has to be sensed what it means. You say, well, do what Jesus would do. Well, most people don't know what Jesus would do. They don't know what he did. Even the church, much less the churchgoer, I mean, but anyway, they're shocked. You find out what he actually did. But most people don't know, and they don't sense covenant out of that. But you say, well, do what John Wayne would do. And all of a sudden you know, because you sense it about him. You know he's going to do what's right. You know, if it kills all the bad guys in the county, he's going to do what's right. Well, that's honor and covenant. You bless God and do it right because it's right. Whether there's anybody there but God or not, you know. This is one of those men. He's a blessed man. He's a man of honor. He delights in being commanded by God. Being obedient to a command of God that seems so slight and seems like, I don't even know why the Lord had me do that. Opens the way for you to walk in far more authority. It takes more authority and obedience to his word to do something insignificant just because he asked you to do it. And probably didn't want to do it. Didn't have time to do it. And it cost too much to do that. And that's silly in the first place. God said when manna came down, he said, you give them these instructions. And then he said, I'm watching to see who will obey it and who won't. Why? He's got bigger jobs than this to do. He's planning on them going into combat. And he's not going to send somebody into combat that won't do what he says do just because they don't understand what he's talking about. God may send you somewhere to shine some preacher's shoes. Well, what I need to go over and do that for? Just shut up and get your polish and go. Because something else is coming. Something else is on the way. And he that is faithful over little will be put in command over much. And those are the kind of men and women of honor, men and women of covenant, that it takes to walk in the kind of thing that we've been talking about here since Thursday night. You don't put wealth in the hands of people that argue about what you say do with it. Or spend it some other way. Oh God, please give me seed. And he gives you seed and you buy a new set of tires with it. That don't do. Amen. I'm talking about, this is a picture of you. If you purpose in your heart, you are the every man and every woman. You choose life. You choose blessing that you and your seed may live. Then this is a picture of you. Amen. Well, Brother Keith, I believe God has sent me to help you, brother. I want to help you. Do you have anything available on the platform? So have I. We need some help in the restrooms. Well, you see, brother, I mean, I'm a prophet. I don't do toilets. No, you're a toilet. You don't do prophets. So just go on somewhere and be one. I told you this Saturday night, man. I ain't got time to pet you and play church with you. No, you're bigger than that anyway. You're stronger than that. You going to understand what I'm saying? That's not the way covenant people are. Man that I know, and so do you. He got into a meeting we were having back in the 70s in San Francisco, and Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, and Steve Shikarian, Demas Shikarian's son, the founder of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, his son was having a young people's meeting down in the basement, and he called me and a young guy, praise God, that was just getting started, and we got down there in that basement, and the power of God hit that basement, and people from upstairs in the big meeting started coming down there. Well, the guys upstairs didn't like that much, but we were having an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in that basement. And those kids were believing God. And they'd sit there just as long as you'd preach. Well, we were having a big time. And this young man came there. He and several other guys that got into that meeting, and he's one of them, what I'm thinking about now. And he'd never heard anything like that in his life. And he just totally surrendered and committed his life to God. And God, he realized God had called him to preach. And Gloria was standing back there at the book table, and he went back there, and he said, the Copelands have any tapes or anything like that? And Gloria said, yeah. She reached in her purse and pulled out this little brochure that we had back in those days. You could get everything I knew in 9 tapes. And some of them are repeaters. Amen. But it's all I knew. And he grabbed hold of those tapes. And he just went to everywhere he could go. He went to prayer groups. He'd go anywhere. And he went to the church. He didn't have a job, so he went to the church and volunteered to clean the restrooms. And did that. And so, if he got invited anywhere, he'd go to a prayer group. He'd come, and he'd take his tape recorder and one of my tapes, and he'd set it up on the table, and he'd play that tape. And when I got through, he'd say, all right, is there any questions? I'll do my best to answer them. Well, that's the way he got in the ministry. And one night he was headed out the door and had his tape recorder in his hand. And the Lord said, leave the tape recorder here. He said, what? He said, I can't tell nobody my name, much less preach. He said, God didn't call me because I was eloquent. He called me because I was available. And it was Ed Dufresne.
Wow. Yeah.
Man, what a powerful ministry. Cleaning commodes and walking around with a Radio Shack tape recorder in his hand. Praise the Lord. Amen. But he was available to God. And that's the way he is about these things. Hallelujah. Now, that other little fellow that was just getting started, I'm serious. He hadn't gone out on his own full time. Was Andre Crouch. And he caught me that morning. We had breakfast together last morning at that meeting. He said, Brother Kenneth, He said, I tell you, you preaching on the name of Jesus. He said, that stirred me up, man. He said, and you're talking about a covenant agreement of prayer. In Matthew 18, he said, I was raised in church. I don't know anything about that. But he said, I brought my notebook and my Bible, and I'm ready. Could we get into one of them covenants together? I believe God wants me on the road full time preaching and singing the gospel. I said, yeah, we can do that. He said, Brother Copeland, I've got to have $4,000. Like it was $40 million. But it might as well have been. Amen. We sat down there and wrote out that agreement. He called me back the next week. He said, my God, man, I've already got it. I'm gone. He said, oh, by the way, I need a bus. He and I got an agreement. I don't know who else got in there with him, but somebody did, because it wasn't but a few days later he called me and said, I got the bus! I got the bus! I'm sure glad he did, aren't you? Those of you that, particularly those of you that came to the Lord through his ministry. Now, listen to this. He is the blessed man that delights greatly in being commanded of God, in the Word of God. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. His seed shall be mighty. Now, remember we talked about our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. He's talking about His seed having the mighty power. Oh. The mighty power of God. Not just in Him, but in His seed. Be mighty on earth. The generation. Now it's gone from just His seed, His family, and their offspring and so forth. But it's talking about now His whole generation. There's a whole generation that grew up around Oral Roberts and Kenneth E. Hagin and T.L. Osborne and other men and women of faith. A whole generation grew up around them. And they began to produce Holy Spirit-born, Word-born seed. And instead of just caving in and not receiving any additional revelation like people had done in the past, well, that's we got that, and that's the end of it right there. We're not getting off of this. Build a fence around it. But these generations didn't do that. The seed began to grow and just keep on growing and just keep on growing. Being born again wasn't enough. Got to have the Holy Ghost. Having the Holy Ghost ain't enough. Got to work in the gifts of the Spirit. Glory to God. Well, that ain't enough. We got to have the integrity of the Word of God. And we got a hold of that. That ain't enough. You got to have working knowledge of faith and put it to work and believe God. Yes, amen. And just keep growing and going and going and growing and growing and growing. The whole generation is blessed. The blessing is spreading to a whole body of people. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endure forever. He's got a house. There ain't no mortgage on it. Wealth and riches in his house. And his righteousness is intact. Religion has never ever believed that that could even be possible. If you've got a house, it's bad enough. But if it is full of wealth and riches, you can't be righteous. I beg your pardon. Here he is. Hallelujah. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. This is a man that when darkness and gross darkness comes on the area, he's the one that will believe God for the light and get it and let his light shine, praise God. No wonder he's wealthy. God needed him wealthy. Here's a man that's ready, willing, and able to give and to move in whatever God calls him to move into, to get rid of darkness, to get rid of famine, to get rid of whatever the devil's throwing on the people. He is gracious and full of compassion. He is gracious. 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 All grace is abounding towards him, and he in like manner is a man of grace. He'll show grace towards you. He won't judge you. He won't condemn you. He won't try to put you down. He'll raise you up. He'll help you. He's a man full of grace. I'll tell you one thing. I'd never do that. See what that old boy over there did? See what that politician did? I'd never do that. Oh, and since when are you supposed to be judging them? You're not full of grace. You're willing to receive all the grace you can get from God, but then sit in judgment over them. The only thing of it is, you've set yourself up now as judge, and whatever you judged, you claimed was right. Now, when you don't do it, you will be judged for it by the same yardstick that you put out for them. That's the reason Jesus, in talking and teaching on the blessing, blessed are they, 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 blessed are they. Didn't he say it? Well, somebody called them the Beatitudes. I don't know what that even means. The attitude of a bee? Beatitude? Maybe this way my attitude's supposed to be. I'm not talking about attitudes. It includes attitudes. Well, are you making fun of me? Yeah, you can't tell. We need to be jarred loose from religious tags. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you're full of pride too. Just an old sinner saved by grace. You can't be both, so choose one. You were an old sinner and you got saved by grace. And now you're a blessed man. And Jesus was teaching on that. Matthew 5, 6, 7. And he went from one thing to the next on the blessing. Walking in the blessing. Walking in the anointing. Judge not that you be not judged. Huh? Great study there, pastors. Only thing of it is, you'll have to get rid of all those books that you've been studying about it and go back to this one and realize he's talking about the same thing here. He's talking about the same thing there. He's talking about the blessing of Abraham. And that's what he was teaching and preaching everywhere he went. That's what he taught the poor, the sick, the hungry. The blessing is on you. You're the seed of Abraham. You're blessed. Now here's the way you walk in it. Now, we'll bring this down to close it in this. Under the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion. He's filled with compassion and righteous. How do you get full of compassion? You start by, I love you, Lord, with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And I love my neighbor as myself. Now, what do you want me to do for them? And you just start out. You don't feel compassion. You don't look compassion. You just set it by faith. But it begins to grow in you. Now, I'll show you something here. Remembering that in verse 4, a good man shows favor and lendeth. He's He's not out trying to get people in debt to him. That's not what that's saying there. He is a lending, giving man. You can borrow anything you have and take it home and use it. I mean, he just, everything he has is available to anybody that needs it. And he shows favor, like I said, he's full of grace and favor. Everybody that knows him thinks they're his favorite friend. Isn't that good? Do you know so-and-so? Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's my best friend, yeah. Only usually they'll say, you know, I'm his best friend. Amen. And he won't deny it. He's too full of compassion and favor. But when times come down on people and mean and ugly things happen to them, and you're just there to help, and you just begin to pray, and the compassion of God comes on you like it came on Jesus, and it said he was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. It is an overwhelming anointing to deliver people. I've experienced it. I haven't experienced it nearly enough, but I have walked in it from time to time. And oh, I am ever hungry for more. Because once you ever get a taste of that, the compassion of God, oh dear God. Doctor friend of mine, it was the thing that absolutely just consumed his life. He's a surgeon, and he was just lost, right, standing over a little child, and that baby died, and it just really got to him. And he didn't know God all that well. He really wasn't all that involved in God. He was a Christian man, did his best to do what's right and so forth. But he said he just didn't know what else to do. And he just put his hand on that little baby and said, Jesus, I don't want to have to give this dead child back to its mama. Wow. His little heart started beating again.
Oh, Lord.
And it was that compassion. And just, he said it just, he spent the rest of his life trying to get it again. And he's still doing it. Pushing 90 years old, still a sharp practicing surgeon.
Amen.
What a man. What a man he is. He's the one that really got glory in my attention with the love of God. We just kids, I mean, we hadn't been saved in a few days. He prayed for me so loud one time in the hangar that all the mechanics bowed their heads. And just laugh at the same time, big booming voice. Jesus, he said. And one of my flying buddies, the guy I worked with, we were both there and we were flying this airplane back to Little Rock. And he said, now I want to pray for you boys before you leave. And he said it like that, you know. And so we just bowed our heads. He put his arms around both of us and he said, Jesus, oh, protect these young men. I mean, oh. All the mechanics bowed their heads. Oh, and he prayed. And he got through praying and he said, ha, 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 God is good. I love you, boys. And turned around and walked off. Man, we got in the airplane. Neither one of us said a word. We got in that airplane, and I'd flown over there, and Emmett was flying back. And so, I mean, man, we ain't saying nothing unless we just had to. He talked to one controller, and nobody said anything. We got in there, and we climbed out. We got up to our cruising altitude, 7,000 feet, and he put the nose down, and we headed home, and we sat there a little bit. He looked over there at me, and I looked over there at him, and I quote, "Ah, God, we've been prayed for." And I thought about it so many times later, he was exactly right. By God, we had been prayed for. Oh, glory. Glory be to Jesus. That man's in heaven today. A good man shows favor and he lends. He guides his affairs with discretion. The cross-reference says with good judgment. He has the mind of Christ. Has good ideas. God ideas. He pays no attention and makes no plans based on politicians and news medias and the way the world's going and what it says is right or wrong. Now look at verse 6. Surely, say surely,
surely,
he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. That is a covenant statement. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Bad news don't move him. That's just the easy way of saying that. All the bad news. Oh, I don't care how tragic it is. I don't care how bad it may be. I'm not talking about just talk. I'm talking about the real thing. Really, really bad news. When they bring you word that something tragic has happened in your family, he's still not moved. He's still steady. His righteousness endures forever. And he governs this affair with good judgment. Faith, judgment. He doesn't just go off wild because suddenly something went wrong or out of place. And he's not moved. He stays steady on God's word, God's commandments, and he listens and he obeys. And whatever happens, he's coming out. Now that's the kind of man Job was. I wish we had time to get over in there and really dig in the book of Job. But let me tell you this. God did not put Satan on Job. Now, you need to go back and restudy that thing and find out. Job was not expecting God to kill him.
Right.
Satan had accused Job. There was only one sin involved in this. We can find all kinds of stuff that if you and I did it would be sin. We're not talking about you and me. He's walking in all the light he had. You do a lot of things that are not accounted as sin to you because you got a heart towards God and it's something you didn't know anything about. You're walking in all the light you have. God accounts that as a perfect heart, a willing heart.
That's good.
So, what happened here? There was one sin that Satan was after to get Job to do for one reason. The thing that had Satan so hacked off was this wall of blessing that was around this man and he couldn't penetrate it. He wanted the man, he wanted his money, he wanted his influence. He was the richest man in the East, and God's covenant made him that way. He was that man right there. And there was some things going on in his life that he didn't realize he was doing wrong, and it was fear. He didn't recognize that fear was driving his sacrifices because he kept making the same one over and over and over. Now, here was the sin. Satan said to God, put forth your hand against him, take away what he has, and he'll curse you to your face. Well, God wouldn't put his hand on him. But he said, behold. Now that word means look. Satan didn't know it at the time. But God's not going to set up a lie for you, me, anybody else. He said, he is in your power. Job put himself in Satan's power. But God revealed that he already was in his power so he could limit him. He could limit Satan. He said, don't you touch his life. Job was still believing God for his life. He said, you won't touch his life. And God didn't put forth his hand. Satan put forth his hand against him.
Right.
Now notice, his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? What was his fear? He's kept making the same sacrifice. He was afraid his children would curse God.
Right.
Satan's putting this in the mind of everybody around. And it got in Job's mind. Now listen to what he said. I said it to bring you back into this. He wasn't saying that he thought God was going to kill him. He's a covenant man. He is a man of honor and agreement. He understands covenant. And he said, they said, why don't you curse God? His wife even said it. Satan had been able to worm that into everybody's thinking, trying to get him to do it. That's the way he works. That's all he's got going for him. What did Job say? I'm not going to curse God. If he kills me, I'll serve him. Oh, that'd be. He wasn't saying, God's going to kill me. No, he said, I'm not turning loose of him. I don't care what happens. If he kills me. Well, it wasn't God doing it anyway. But he didn't know it. And others were telling him it was God doing it. Those preachers are still among us today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're not among us. They're out there. But and it's still not true. God didn't do it. Well, what happened? Well, this old man spoke, and that old man spoke, and that old man spoke. Well, there was a young one there that kept his mouth shut till all the elders had something to say. And they all preached the rhetoric of the day. And, well, none of it so. But this young one said, I've held my peace as long as I can. And the anointing of God came on that young man, and he preached the truth in there among those elders. The others got mad at him, and Job heard him and stirred his faith up again. And God came on the scene, and he said, you have spoken wrongly of me. Now, perhaps, in other words, it's Job's decision. My servant might do a sacrifice for you. Well, now faith is in him. And he did it in faith. And not only interceded for them, but it broke the power of that fear. And it broke the power of the devil. And that blessing wall was back in place. And Satan was finished. And he set in motion a covenant promise and principle that when they try to shame you, you receive the double. For your shame, you shall receive the double. Man, all that stuff started coming at us in 2008 where they're trying to shame us in the news media, and Gloria and I danced around. I come through the house just shouting, they qualified us for the devil! Our God, they doubled us. Hallelujah. Well, I wasn't supposed to react like that. I was supposed to fall on the floor and cry and squall and bawl because I'm losing all my stuff and I can't make my payments on my house and I can't make my payments on the land, can't make the payments on the church, and oh, I'm so embarrassed that I have a jet airplane. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. That's the way I was supposed to act. And all my income start going down because my partners are giving up on us until they find out the real truth about all of this. And my legal bills are going up so I can't pay them. Oh, what must I do to get you wonderful men off of me? I'll give you anything you want. And broke the First Amendment of protection over the ministry. I ain't about to. Turn over records of my partners and church members and their tithing. That'll be the day. I'm not going to do it. And amen. I made a covenant with God when I went in this ministry that you don't get my mailing list. Nobody. Nobody. At no time. Anywhere. For any reason. I'll burn it first. Oh, I mean, this between Jesus and me. Well, that's what happened to Job. And he come up out of there, and God starts doubling things, and that blessing is coming downhill now, brother. I mean, it's smoking. And the devil, he's not only the richest man in the East, he's twice the richest man in the East. Amen. That probably went into the West, too. Well, that'd be twice the East, wouldn't it? Well, I got to get down to business here because we're going somewhere with this. He's not afraid of evil tidings. Why? His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid. Now, this fixed heart. You see that? Fixed. What does it mean, fixed? Well, that don't mean fixed like repair. That's fixed like fastened. And the first thing that comes to mind when it's used this way is like fixed in concrete, fixed in rock, bedrock, fixed. He can't move it. He is immovable. He's immovable. He's a man of covenant. He'll die with his sword in his hand. He don't just live for God, he'll die for God, man. I mean, live or die, he does it in God's name. Is that kind of thing? It's fixed. Well, now, what is that fixed heart? You can see shades of it. He's filled with compassion. He's full of grace. He's full of favor, good judgment. He's not moved forever. His heart is established. He'll not be afraid. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid. What casts out fear?
Love.
Perfected, growing love. Now look, he hath dispersed. That's an earmark of love. He hath given to the poor. In what? Compassion, favor, grace, acts of love. His righteousness endureth forever. What is it that never fails?
Love.
Love never fails. The love of God. Now, the word of the Lord came to me just before I came here, and he said, this is what I want you to tell the people in Branson. That this man's fixed heart is the same man in Ephesians 3:14-20 that is rooted.
Yeah.
And grounded. In love.
Yes.
Now, what causes roots? Think it through. That those roots go down. There's more tree under the ground than there is on the top. I mean, and that, they're there and they're so fixed you can't move it. We're called trees planted by the rivers of water. Immovable trees. We're sunk deep into God's love. What causes root structure? That's the first thing a seed does.
Right.
A seed starts roots before you can ever see the tree.
Right.
Now, when you sowed tonight, don't get upset in 3 days if you don't see anything. And from whatever you do, don't dig down in there and see if the seed's growing. Let it alone. First thing it's doing is making roots. Now, by the time you can see it, it's got a little root structure going. But you just keep watering. You just keep praising God, and God loves me. Every time you sow seeds of love, you begin to root structure love. Every time you tell God you love Him, He responds, and you get stronger and deeper in His bedrock. And when that thing gets so strong and so powerful where you stand up and say, none of these things move me. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believe, and I believe the Word of the living Almighty God. Amen. Live or die! Forever! I won't move. 1,000 at one side and 10,000 at the other. And I ain't moving. I'm staying. And I'm going to conduct my affairs with good judgment and with the power and the love and the Word of God. Whether they like it or not. God likes it. And so does Gloria. Amen. That's the reason by this time we're hard to shake. You can be just as tough about it. Because God loves you.
Yes, sir.
Say it again. God loves me. God loves me. And I love my God. And I delight greatly in His commandments. And He's filled me with His compassion. And He teaches and trains me. I pray the 127th Psalm at night. And each night, there'll be something. But most of the time, unless I'm led some other way, as I'm drifting off to sleep and I'm giving the Lord praise and thanksgiving, the deep desire of my heart, teach me the name. I want to know. It's above all names. I want to know the ins and the outs and the rounds and the bouts. I want it. And by that time, I'm gone, man. But way more than once, many, 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 many times, I'll wake up in the night momentarily and I'm praying in the Spirit. Seeing it. I was laying there one night and you kind of in that twilight zone. And I'm about half awake. And I'm singing in my spirit, just singing this song. And I woke up and thought, I've been wondering what the lyrics to that song were. And I didn't write them down. And by the time I woke up good, I didn't remember them anymore. So now you got to go back to sleep to find out what the lyrics of the song are. Amen. And sometimes I wake up singing some stupid something that I don't that shouldn't even been there anyway. Well, cast the thing out and say, no, you don't. No, you're not putting a dumb dream on me. My sleep comes from heaven, and I do not tolerate anything in my dream world, in my thought world, that doesn't come from Jesus. Now, bless God, you get out of here with that. And lay your hands on your head and over your spirit and say, I plead the blood over my mind, over my brain, over my body. The blessing is at work within me. The blessing is preparing my day for tomorrow. Yes. And great shall be my tomorrow.
Right.
Filled with compassion.
Yes, sir.
And good judgment.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah 60, we're still closing. I told you I was closing. But this is the order that the Lord gave me this and said for me to bring all of that and then close it, close the meeting with this. You start, well, really, in Isaiah 59, and we read down into it. It starts here at verse 16. He saw there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm, Jesus, brought salvation unto him, God, and his righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. That's a cloak. That's the full armor of God. And it's been given unto you to wear in intercession. Hallelujah. According to their deeds. Now, who's the there, T-H-E-I-R? According to their deeds. Who are they? No. According to their deeds, according he will repay fury to his adversaries. Well, I guess you're counted in that. If your deeds are qualified, that'd be true. But the center here is on principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. God's enemies have never been people. His enemies are not flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, when he brings judgment down on a devil, and that devil is in a man, and the man rather have the devil than God, then what God comes down on that devil with and repays, the man's going to bear the brunt of it.
That's good.
According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun when the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now, please don't read that with a religious head. See that comma right there? When the enemy shall come in like a flood, comma.
Right.
No, there are no punctuation marks in that original text. That comma don't belong in there. The English translators put it in there, and they didn't know what they're talking about. A flood is an uncontainable force. And that's not the devil.
No.
Read it like this. When the enemy shall come in. Now, who is referred to as water? The Holy Ghost. When the enemy shall come in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He'll flood him out of here, praise God. Wash him out and move him out. God is an unquenchable fire and an uncontainable flood. Hallelujah. The Redeemer. Ho, ho, ho. The Redeemer. Say, my Redeemer. The Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgressions in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me. Now, this is when I told you I was going to give you the scripture on this. When you put the word of God in your mouth, covenant in your mouth, and you will not let anything else get in there and take it out. They'll never hear anything out your mouth anymore except my God loves me and greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Praise God, my future is bright. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Heaven is my future. Glory be to God. And he loves me. And I'm blessed. Yeah. Doesn't make a difference how you feel. The worse you feel, the louder you shout it. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Ooh. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of your seed, nor out of the mouth of your seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. And that's one of the scriptures that Gloria and I stood on. Our seed and our grand seed. Amen. Now, I'll depart this covenant. Arise! Shine! For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen upon you. Even when you can't see it, there are going to be people see it on you in the mall, in the grocery store. You just walk in the store. There's going to, in this great awakening, it's here now.
Glory. Yes.
They're going to run up to you. My God, you convict me of my sin. Pray, and fall on their knees in the grocery store. Jerry and Carolyn were going through a shopping mall. Jerry and Carolyn Seville. And they're going through this shopping mall. And Carolyn and Gloria, I mean, man, they go through a shopping mall. And they're gone, man. Jerry and I wait out there on the outside because you can't stay up with them. And Jerry was up there in the hall, in that medium out there in an enclosed mall. And he's just walking along trying to see where Carolyn went. And he saw her over there, so he headed over there towards her again. And he got going over there, and then he threw the store, and then he came out. Well, he got out there, and there's a lady ran up to him and just fell before him. My God, she said, You're him. He said, What are you talking about? She said, I was praying. Oh, I was crying out to God. I need prayer. I need help. I don't know what to do. The Lord said He'd for me to come down here to this mall. That there was a man going to be down here that had helped me. And she said, I saw this light bobbing up and down inside that store. And I kept watching it, and I kept watching it. And when it got outside here in this area out here, it is on you. And Jerry was able to lead her to the Lord, get her full of the Holy Ghost, get her healed. Right up there in that mall. Well, he said, I didn't see any light on me, and I didn't feel any different. But he ain't walking in darkness. She was. And she saw it. Lift up your... The Gentiles shall come to you light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Oh, lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. You got kids out there in the world, you don't know where they are. I mean, you start shouting this every morning and every night, and you lay hold of it with a smile on your face. Quit crying over them. All your crying ain't working. And you can cry tears of joy.
Yes.
And you can love them. The lovely thing to do is not worry about them, but get this in your mouth and say, Lord, I ain't worrying about them anymore. You know where they are and what they're doing. Now get them home here and get them home saved and full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You may have children that are in prison somewhere. Start praying that for them. God will get them out. Hallelujah. He'll bring them home full of God, too. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear. Your heart, that just take your pen and just mark out the word fear. And put out in the reference there, the true rendering of that Hebrew word is, your heart shall swell with joy. Your heart gets so full of joy, you can't stand it, man. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Your heart will be enlarged because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto you. And the forces, the cross-reference says, the wealth of the Gentiles shall come unto you. and the multitude of camels shall cover you, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come, and they'll bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Camels? Hey, camels were the 18-wheelers of the day.
Yes.
They were the trucks and the trains.
Yes,
they were the transports. They were heavy haulers. Oh, glory be to God.
Glory to God.
Forget about your teacups. Forget about your spoons. Forget about your shovels. Get out the dump trucks, praise God. That's the freight haulers. They're coming. They're on the way. They're laden down with your goods. They're hunting you now. If you'll just rise and shine and begin to be the man of the 112th Psalm. Woo, glory be to God. Well, Brother Copeland, that don't make any sense to me. It ain't supposed to make sense. It makes faith. And Jesus said it like this: give, and it'll be given unto you again. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will men give into your bosom. Men will bring it to you. Well, you're not putting your eyesight on men. That ain't none of your business. Your eyesight's on the giving.
Amen.
You're offering to Jesus. Jesus, look here. I got something I want to give you here. Oh, where do you want me to put it?
Yeah.
I'm offering you everything I got. I just give it to you.
Yes.
And so what do his angels do? They going after the camels. Get them in there.
Got a condom.
Get them in there. Praise God. We've never walked in this like we should. But our time has come. Why? We've got a nation that's financially sick to its guts. It's morally sick to its insides. And it don't want to be like this. It's the fringe that's acting like that. And the church wants to change it and hadn't got a clue how. But we do. Awakening. What? Arise and shine. Oh, I'm a permanent resident of the land of Goshen. Hallelujah. And light in my eyes. Glory to God. And I got fire in my bones. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto you, and the rams of Nebaoth shall minister to you. They'll come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I'll glorify the house of my glory. I will glorify the house of my glory. And in the book of Hebrews, it says Moses was faithful to his house as a son. But Christ, who is worthy of far more glory, was faithful to his house as, or Moses was faithful as a servant. Jesus is faithful as a son to his house, whose house we are.
Ah,
yes. You didn't get it. His house is worthy of more glory, whose house we are. What glory? Not just the light of God. It is the light of God that is at the heart of all matter. It is the very, it is the essence, light. Energy, the glory of God is the creation material, and it fires the engine of everything on this planet and in this universe. The glory of God moves all matter. The light of God. His first words were, "Let there be light." Well, sunshine didn't come for four more days. I'm talking about no sunshine. The light of God, the glory of God, that's what created the sunshine. And it's in you. I said, it's in you. Rise and shine. Your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Surely, look at verse 8. Who are these that fly as clouds and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for thee, and the ships of Tarshish first to bring the sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, because he has glorified you. Who are they that fly like the clouds? Me. That's why I have a jet airplane. Yes, sir. And there ain't no debt on it. It's paid for. And you and Jesus did it. And that day the Lord come and back there in the behind the curtain and during the convention, and one of the other guys was preaching. I believe it's Jerry. It's either Jerry or Creflo. One of them was preaching. And after the Lord preached to me, I forgot who was on the platform. And he said, I want you to believe me today for a Citation 10 airplane. And he said, when I tell you to be in Tokyo in the morning, I don't want you to ask anybody if you can go. Man, I'm just sitting there, big-eyed, and Gloria come busting through the curtain. She's just big-eyed as I was. She said, God just spoke to me. I said, he just spoke to me. She said, what did he say? I said, you first. She said, God just spoke to me and said, we're supposed to have a Citation 10 to believe for it today. Boy, we grabbed hands. We sowed the seed before the service was over. Got that thing in motion, believed God for it for, what, nearly 10 years, I guess. Not quite that long. But, oh, Lord, a few mornings ago, God woke us up, put us on a special assignment. I'm not at liberty to tell you where I was going, but it's a long way from the house. And I'm out there on the ramp, and we're getting that airplane ready to go. I was just so blessed that God needed me somewhere. Oh, man. And I'm walking around. I've just got this big grin on my face. And I'm getting that airplane ready. And Dwayne and I are getting all ready. And I was just walking around the wing, fixing to get in the door. And Gloria's in the back seat. And we're headed out. And, stopped. I said, oh, Jesus. He said, you remember that day when I told you? If I want you in Tokyo in the morning, I don't want you to have to ask somebody if you can go. I said, yes, sir. He said, I need you in such and such this morning. And I need you to minister to so and so. I said, yes, sir. I'm on my way. And he said, I just wanted to thank you. Thank me. Thank you. I just wanted to thank you. Well, Brother Copeland, you're special. Well, I ain't going to argue with you about that. But I'm special because he loves me. You don't love me because I'm special. That's what's special about me. You're just as special as I. Or more, in a lot of ways, good ways. But all of us together are really something. Jesus said there's never been anything like you, and there'll never be anything like you again. The church of the Master, the most powerful thing that has ever come to this earth or ever will come to it forever. I believe you ought to stand up and give the Lord a praise. Oh, hallelujah. Say amen. Amen. Begin to praise. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. Oh, glory, 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 glory. Oh, hallelujah. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. The glory of the Lord is upon you. Oh, hallelujah. His glory is on me. Say it. His glory is on me. I release my faith to shine where there is no light. To lift up His name. The mighty name of Jesus. To dark and hurting people. I turn from my wicked way. I repent. And I pray. And my God does hear from heaven. And He will heal my land. The glory is on me. We have the answer, and His name is Jesus. He is the great Jubilee. The acceptable year of the Lord has come to pass. Supernatural debt cancellation is in the spiritual wind of the body. My Lord. Keith, you're going to have to come close this. I don't know how. Come help me. Give an invitation, dance, sing. I don't care what you do.